The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You just found the most downloaded fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. This is Mind Pump. All right, we finally did it. This is our most ambitious program and project we've ever done here at Mind Pump. You guys know, everybody knows, trainers and coaches, that's the lifeblood of the fitness industry. That's who we are in our hearts. I know we have a podcast, we've been doing this for a while, but really we're trainers and we're coaches. So the first time ever we took on and tackled, this has been a year and a half project of actual work, we have made a course for coaches and trainers, literally a course. In other words, you get in this course and it is going to make you more successful, both with your clients and with your business. And so in today's episode, we talk a little bit about what's in the course. We also teach you a few things if you're a trainer or a coach. And then we talk about this new course that we got going on. In fact, let me tell you a little bit about it, right? So in this course, we talk about how to train people and work with people in big box gyms, private studios, online, at home. We talk about client demographics. We talk about imposter syndrome, the best places to get educated, marketing, lead generation, how to sell, how to close, how to get big deals with your clients. In other words, how to get people to hire you for long periods of time, doing assessments, how to keep your clients, workout programming, diet, trainer hacks, the business side. I mean, all that is in there, plus more. There's 40 hours of instruction and roundtable video in this program. This is what we used to teach trainers when they used to work for us to help them be more successful. And because we're launching this, it's a brand new course. It's brand new. It's not a workout program like we normally do. Again, this is to teach you how to be successful. We included a bunch of cool stuff. So if you sign up during the launch period, you get MAPS Prime for free, MAPS Prime Pro for free. You get a live virtual lead generation masterclass for free. You get all MAPS mods for free. You get all MAPS guides for free. You get a discount, $200 off because of the launch. You get access to a brand new private group online only for trainers and coaches who've gone through this course. And if you get in early enough, you may get access, this is the first 100 people, to our first ever live training for coaches and trainers here at Mind Pump Studios. Okay, so this is, if you added this all up, it's like a $4,000 value or whatever. Well, check this out. With the discount, because of the launch, this trainer course, 40 hours of videos and instruction and more, you get for $9.97. That's it. Or you can make payments. You can actually make payments monthly over the course of a year. So it's just pay monthly and you have full access to the program. By the way, we're going to add to this every 6 months to a year. Once you get it, though, you never pay another dollar. So as we add more content, as we add other trainers and coaches teaching on it, our friends, people we interview, things that we learn, you never pay a dollar more. You keep it forever. Now, the price will go up for other people, but once you get in, you're in, and that's it. So check this out. If you're interested, you want to check this out, go to mindpumptrainer.com, then use this code for the discount and all the free stuff. It's 200 off, 200 off. We'll get you the discount and all the free stuff. Now, this episode is brought to you by one of our sponsors, LMNT. This is an electrolyte powder that has the right amount of sodium for pumps, performance, and energy. No sugar, no artificial sweeteners. It's amazing. And if you go through our link, you get yourself a free sample pack with any order. So go to drinklmnt.com/mindpump and get that hookup. All right, here comes the show. All right, trainers and coaches, it's finally here. This is the Mind Pump Fitness Coaching Course. It's taken us a long time to get here, but we finally have done it.
A long time.
Let's talk about this.
Long
now
time.
For a second.
It's been over,
you know,
a year.
People are going to, people, all, it's been, I mean, truth be told, it's been 9 years.
A long time in the making, but yeah, a year we've actually deliberately been working on it.
Yeah. So we, I mean, all of us, for people who know and people who don't know, we were all, this is what we did in our careers for the majority of our careers in the space. Was we were trainers, we trained trainers, we managed gyms. We worked with people. That's our expertise. Podcasting was not our expertise. Media was not our expertise. It was about working with clients and working with people that worked with clients. And so that's why it took so long to even approach something like this. There's, you know, we have so much respect for the space that every time the conversation would come up about maybe creating a course for trainers and coaches to help them be better at what they do, we knew it would be a monster because we didn't want to do anything that
we have to do it right.
Yeah, we don't want to fall short of what we would really want for these people.
I also think that we owed it to the general population to go out and show them what kind of trainers we are first too. Like, I mean, it reminds me of when I would get a new staff, right? Or I take over a new club and I've got 15, 20 trainers working underneath me who don't really know who I am, right? And before I would go and tell them what to do or teach them how to be a better trainer or how to scale their business, I really didn't do much talking at all. I actually went out and did their job.
Showed them.
Yeah. And so I kind of think of what we've been doing for the last 8 years in this space is showing people, is showing trainers, is giving our free knowledge, our experience, changing lives through all the programs that we have, through the live callers that we've done. And so I felt like we had to establish that first. And I believe that we have that reputation now in the space. And now that we're in that position, now we can do that. Now yeah. We can come out and do really what you're saying, which is what we all were most – I mean, this is what I was really passionate about. I honestly didn't care to be a trainer that long. I remember by a year and a half of being a personal trainer, I was over it. I was more interested in helping other coaches and trainers. I had way more fun doing that. In fact, after I was done training clients, I spent late nights in the gym with my peers sharing with them what I was learning, what I was doing. And I just had more passion for that. And once I stepped away from training full time, I never looked back and forever poured my heart into developing other coaches and trainers.
Yeah, I actually, we all worked in the same company. We all started at the same company. This was back in the day, early 24 Hour Fitness days. I started in the late 90s. You guys started in the early 2000s. And I had known of Adam in particular, although we'd never worked together. One of the reasons why I knew of the guy was at the time, the company was huge, you know, 400 locations. And especially in late 90s, early 2000s, they were the leader in the gym industry. Like they were the ones that were showing everybody. And that's a lot different now. The space looks a lot different now. But back then they were head and shoulders above everybody else. They were showing other gyms how to make it happen, how to do it, how to grow. And what they used to do is they used to keep track of records and production and success of individual clubs. And the reason why they would do this is to show other gym managers and fitness managers and trainers, like, here's what other trainers in the company are doing. Here's what other clubs that are similar to your, because they would classify clubs, single A, double A, triple A. And you, if you were in a triple A club, you would look at other triple A clubs. Those are the big ones. Or if you're single A, you'd look at single A and you'd look at other trainers in those clubs. And you'd see how you're doing compared to these other people. It was really remarkable. It was an incredible environment because, you know, if you're in one gym by yourself, you know, you can be really motivated and push yourself. But if you're in a company like this and you see and you're doing really well and you look, oh, my God, this trainer in a very similar club is doing three times the business that I'm doing or has all these clients or their club is producing tremendous workouts and tremendous sales and incredible retention. What are they doing?
What is it?
Yeah. And so the company did that. And so I would hear about Adam and say, and he, you know, later on when I met him, he said the same thing about me. We would hear about each other because we were kind of breaking records and setting the standard. Justin, same thing in the trainer space, was really setting the standard. And it was an incredible environment to work in. Now, we all went our separate ways afterwards. I owned a studio. Adam did some other business and then later worked with trainers again. Justin went independently. But our passion for this is so deep that when we talked about approaching a course for trainers, it was always like, okay, we need to have the time and the energy to do this. This is not writing a workout program, which takes time and energy, but we're talking about the people that are most important in the entire fitness sphere. And we believe this to be true. Yeah. Trainers and coaches, among everybody that works in health and fitness, have the potential for the biggest impact on people's health. And we know this firsthand. Nobody can do what trainers and coaches do because there's nothing else that allows you to be with someone on that regular of a basis, that consistent over long periods of time. You're literally a guide for people. And so it's like, okay, if we're going to approach this, and I remember the discussion was always, do we make a certification? And it was always no, because although there's amazing certifications out there.
We don't want to deal with the red tape.
Not just the red tape. That was part of it, right? But it was also when I had trainers working under me, and you guys the same thing. We all talked about this. When I would have trainers work under me, I didn't teach them the stuff the certifications taught.
Yeah.
Certifications taught them cool stuff. That was valuable. But I would focus on the stuff that certifications didn't teach them. How to build their business. How to communicate to clients. How to improve retention. Mm-hmm. How to get people to want to buy in to what you're doing. The stuff that really in the field really works. That really moves the needle
the most. Yes. Yeah. And really, like, this is the core of our value. This is the core of what we bring on the show. It's all of our accumulated experience, and our one-on-one training is really what I would say defines us the most. And so to be able to convey that and to, package it together and aggregate all of our different experiences and case studies and kind of pass that on to the next trainer to be able to utilize. I think that's why we had so much intensity going into this project.
Yeah. Well, the reason why we're calling it a course too and not a certification is we didn't want to get it confused for people at like, oh, is this going to be like NASM or is this going to be like NCSA or NCSF or ACE? Is it going to be something like that? No. It's like, no, it's nothing like that. In fact, like,
this is like a mentorship more than anything.
Yeah. And I highly recommend national certifications. A lot of the ones that we've listed or talked about before, I think there's tremendous value in going through those courses. Like, you need to have some sort of base knowledge and understanding around exercise science, around nutrition, biomechanics, things like
anatomy.
That. Anatomy. Those are very important. But believe it or not, as important as those foundational things are, they aren't what move the needle in making a successful trainer.
No.
And you know, I've learned this through my career that when I first started, I used to go after like the most educated trainers.
Oh, God,
seeking out, you know, oh man, when we work for this company, I get stacks of applications, you know, weekly, and they get sent to me and I'd go through them. And what originally I always looked for was like the highest education, like the most national certs, master's degree in a field, you know, sports medicine or kines, and oh yeah, those are the ones, right? And I'd section them off to the side and then I'd call them up and then book the interviews and eventually hire one or two of them. And that was my strategy for the longest time. And I really messed up. I'm really disregarded probably, which is ironic because I wasn't that kid. It's like so funny that I wasn't even looking for myself. I just assumed that the better trainer's gonna
be. I had
be.
No certification when I first became a trainer.
I know, that's the irony of this was that I had enough wisdom to know that I wasn't gonna make or find another me, and so I shouldn't be trying to do that. So then I went like the complete opposite direction, which was look for the most experienced educated trainers. And what I found was, man, those trainers sometimes worked out, but rarely ever were they my best trainers. Rarely ever. My best trainers ended up being the ones that had the least amount of experience in education and the ones that I could mold. The ones that I could go like, hey, go check this national cert out. That'll give you a good foundation. And then come back to me and we're going to spend every day for the next 30 to 60 days of me spending one-on-one time with you and us role playing and you telling me your challenges with your clients. And that was the stuff that made great, great trainers.
Yeah. And, you know, here's another thing about this. And something I love about you guys, working with you guys, is there's, you know, every time I have a question as to whether or not we're going to do something that I think will be like lots of value and integrity, I'll bring it up and it's always a like, done, of course. And the same thing for you guys. And one of those was this. We wanted to create a course that you could enroll in and you have it forever. And we're always going to add to it. No matter what the cost of the course is, that's it, you're done. But we're always going to continue to add to it because the fitness space is ever evolving. And we also want to make this such a valuable course that over time, just like when you train, just like when we used to train trainers, I would teach them for 6 months, but I didn't stop teaching them after six months.
I'm a constant student.
Yes. So this is going to be a course where you enroll in it and you do your thing and that's it. And then we keep adding to it. No matter what, no matter how much we add to it, it's yours and you get the extra stuff that we add. And again, we're starting with the stuff that we have learned to be the most important, that move the needle. Now, when we say move the needle, Here's what we mean by moving the needle. Okay. Number one, success for the client. Okay. So in other words, what are the things that we saw that made the biggest difference when it came to trainers and the success of their clients as defined by the clients hitting the results and the client keeping the results? That was the big one. The big one is because it takes a while for trainers to figure out how to get a client to get to their goals. It takes a lot longer for a trainer to figure out how to get them to keep their goals. That's the big one. That's what you hear us communicate on the podcast all the time. But there's a second part, which is, and this unfortunately, it's a travesty in our space. If you look at the turnover rate on personal trainers, it's dismal. It's terrible. You have with personal trainers and coaches, you have two extremes. So if you go online right now and you look up what's the average pay of a personal trainer, it's like 20 something or 30 bucks an hour. The reality is you have very few trainers that do very well and everybody else sucks and doesn't do well and drops out. It's true. The ones that do well do very well. All of us were nice, deep, six-figure trainers as personal trainers. All of us made a great career as personal trainers and training other trainers. I owned studios and gyms, and you guys had other businesses as well. We did very well. We trained trainers to do this. But most coaches and trainers don't get anywhere close. What they end up doing is they try it. They start out. They last 6 months, maybe a year, and they leave because they can never figure out how to turn this into a career. It's always like, oh, I like it, but I can't make enough money doing it. And my hours are crazy. I'm here from 6 a.m. to 1, and then I'm back at 4 p.m. till 10, and I'm barely making any money. So the second part of this is, which is important, is teaching trainers and coaches how to make good money doing what they love. Because the bottom line is this, if you can't make good money doing this and you can't support yourself and your family, you're not going to do it.
Yeah, you're going out of business.
And then we're going to lose good, passionate people, because this is very important to us. People become trainers and coaches because they have a deep passion for helping other people. And it sucks that we lose so many good people who really want to truly help people. Many of them have transformed their own lives through health and fitness. I would say a majority of trainers have seen and felt the transformative effects of proper exercise and nutrition, so much so that they become evangelists. I want to do this for a living. And these are good people. And they leave because they never truly figure out how to make this a career. And you can, you 100% can. All of us did that. All of us became very successful at training other people. And what we did is we took all the stuff that we taught, the stuff that made the big difference, those things that I talked about, client success, trainer success, and we put it all together.
What's your opinion, both you guys, on why that is, right? Why is training so unique compared to another space? Like if you were to take any other profession and that person is extremely educated or maybe even done years, like they're going to be successful doing that, right? Like if they really know their stuff in that field, more often than not, they're really successful. But in training, it doesn't necessarily work that way. In fact, I've, you know, seen lots of trainers that I had to let go that were very high education and even experience because they just were not successful. They weren't able to produce. They weren't able to build their client portfolio. So what is it that's so unique, you think, about this profession that adds a new element or another element or challenge to being successful?
I've thought a lot about this. I think number one is the public's perception of what a trainer or coach is. Yeah. The public doesn't know what a really good coach or trainer is like and can do for them. Once they experience it, by the way, they know. I mean, when I got good personally as a trainer, clients hired me and didn't leave. I mean, I had clients that were with me for 12 years. You know, I had one woman that hired me and it was Monday at 4 p.m. Carol was her name. And it was Monday at 4 p.m. for 12 years. I had clients with me 9 years. I think my average was for like 4 years. Because once they found and felt like, oh, this is what it's like. Like, I don't want to stop this. This is amazing. But most people think of a trainer as a rep counter, someone who understands exercises,
a motivator.
And a motivator. Just
gym rat.
Yes. That is not what a good trainer or coach is. So that's number one. It's a perception you have to overcome. The second reason is that a lot of trainers and coaches don't have good training themselves. They don't have a mentor. I feel like this business, among most businesses, trainers would benefit so much from having a good mentor, because I have yet to find, there's very few courses and certifications or whatever that teach you this part. They'll teach you techniques and exercises and science. By the way, the reason why most courses focus on those things is because that's what trainers think they need to know and they love, because they're all nerds about fitness. But there's not a lot out there where a trainer can
There's a lack of education. There's a lack of curriculum focused on business, specifically on how to be successful.
Yes.
There's a lot of information out there, like academically, about anatomy, physiology, about like methods, about programming, about a lot of the, you know, day-to-day kind of details in terms of how to apply these workouts with your clients and how to interact with your clients. But really, they're just, I mean, you have to really go seek outside of the certification realm to go find like somebody that could actually coach you in a good business.
What's the number one comment we get? Actually, I'll say this. What's one of the number one comments we get that we love the most when we hear from trainers who listen to the show? I learn more from listening to your podcast than all my certifications combined.
Yeah.
What do we teach on the podcast? We're teaching experience, communication,
application,
behavior, psychology. Like, we're not getting super deep into the science. We can, and we have guests that come on, and we'll do that, and we'll go back and forth. But that's not what trainers and coaches are learning when they hear the show. What they're listening to us is like, this is what it's like in the real world when you're working with people. Here's what actually works. And people and trainers and coaches, unfortunately, don't get that in their gyms from their gym managers. And they don't get that from certifications. Of course, we know this. When we train trainers, we would sit down in front of them. You know, I used to go right before COVID happened, when gyms were before, because then they shut down and we had to stop. I was going around local gyms here in the Bay Area. And it was free. And I would do this just to be able to talk to people. Sometimes we get a little, you know, we reminisce on the gym space. You know, we're in front of cameras, we're in the studio. This is cool and fun, but we love the gym. We love talking to fitness people. And so I was going around to gyms, and I was teaching very basic communication skills and sales skills to trainers. And every time I taught it, I mean, their minds were blown. These were trainers that had been there for years, because nobody taught them. And this is all like, this was like day one when you worked for me as a trainer. I would go over this stuff with you. Nobody was teaching them any of this stuff. And at the end of every one, when these trainers would come up to me, like, oh my God, I didn't know that. And wow, I didn't know I should ask a question that way. And this is what that means. I would both be happy because I was providing value, but you guys know, so I come back, I'd be sad. Mm-hmm. Nobody's teaching these trainers. Is this, like, how are they going to succeed if they're not learning this, like, this super important basic stuff?
Yeah, I think Justin hit it really well. I think all these certifications and courses, they're missing the business and sales side.
Yeah.
And if you took all the best national certs and courses that were out there, and then somebody provided the business, and all you had to do was show up to appointments for 8 hours a day and train people, you'd be a great trainer.
Yeah.
Because you have the knowledge, right, to what do I do if this happens, or if they got an injury, or if their metabolism's slow, or what do I do if they're, you know, you would have the answer if you had all the best certifications and courses. But the problem with that is that the biggest part of the business is getting that person in front of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then being able to keep that person in front of you, right? Renewing those contracts or keeping them going.
Predictable revenue stream.
Yeah, the irony is that that is more than half of what your job becomes as a trainer, is to be able to drum up business, be effective at communications, which is sales, and yet the courses put all the energy and effort towards the education around the human body, anatomy, physiology, nutrition.
Now, along those lines, this is recent. This didn't exist before. This is relatively recent. With the explosion of online coaching, which there's a lot of value in the online space to be able to work with people online. There's advantages and disadvantages to it, but I think there's value. I like it. But I'd never seen this before. We'd never seen this before. For the first time ever, you had courses advertising specifically on how you can make a lot of money coaching people online. And for the first time in my life, I saw people entering the fitness space that did not have a passion for helping people, mm-hmm. and were simply like to work out. And they said, oh, wow, I can make a lot of money. I'm going to get in this course. This is also not that. If you don't want to train people, if you don't have a passion for helping people, you can turn this off right now. We want people who are real trainers who also want to build a successful business. This is not one of those, hey, make a lot of money hacking algorithms and tricking people and build a huge roster and then whatever. No. If you're a shitty trainer, don't do this. In fact, if you're a shitty trainer and you own this, take it back. We don't want you to have this. You got to be both. And I had never seen that before because before you couldn't make a lot of money as a trainer. It was only passionate people.
Well, we also have to talk about a little bit about like what motivated us in terms of our show is a big test kitchen. I mean, for the most part, we get a lot of feedback from, well, I only have so much time. And so what should I do with this program? How can I alter it? And then it's like, oh, we could probably create a program that's like 15 minutes long. And like, this will fit and suit that type of an avatar of a person that's like looking for that very specific thing. And, you know, it's just kind of a funny because we get a lot of people like contacting us like, you know, I've listened to you guys for a long time and I've been stuck in this career forever, but I'm so passionate about fitness and nutrition. And I just want to shift and I want to change in this. And the whole time we're like, this is not a good career for making a lot of money. And like, this isn't the direction we'd normally go, but whatever. But we're thinking about that. And we're like, you know what? Like there's a big surge of people that are really interested in getting in the space. Like how would we approach this if we were to help them, you know, give them tools?
You know, I'm glad, Sal, you said what you said too, because it's funny. It's right in line with the advice that we give the general population on here around exercise and nutrition, right? There's a lot of things out there that's the quick fix, the before and afters, the hacks, all these things to get you in shape, to sell you pills, to do stuff. Of course, if you've been listening to our show for a long time, you know that our message is the complete opposite of that. The same problem is in the personal training, online trainer business too, is there's all these courses and things that you can get that are advertising to aspiring trainers or current trainers of how to scale to $10,000 or how to get 100 clients and it's all these ways to create challenges and gimmicks and before and afters to get all this business, drum up all this business. And that's not what this is. This is just like we tell our clients, it's the long game. It's going to take you a while. You're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to practice these skills. You're going to have to read and learn and grow.
We want career trainers and coaches. I don't want someone who's going to be like, oh, cool, I'm going to make a lot of money because I like working out in 6 months and then go do something else.
But the beauty of this, just like with the clients, okay, so it might take you longer to lose 20 pounds. It might take you longer to get to $10,000 a month in revenue. But it's going to be sustainable.
You're going
to
build a career.
Because the principles behind everything that we plan to teach all these coaches and trainers are the ones that are going to make them great coaches and trainers for the rest of their lives. It'll be up to them if they want to keep doing it for the rest of their life. But it's a slower process. It's not a, hey, in 30 days, you're going to make this much money. It's like, no, you need to go through these things and practice these skills. If you practice these skills and you get good at this, you're going to be a great coach and trainer.
Okay, so now that you went there, look, here's the big, big goal, okay? Our big goal has always been, and we're going to teach you some stuff today and talk a little bit about what's in the program, but really just teach you some stuff too. Our big goal always has been, since day one, to shift the fitness industry, right? To take the fitness industry, which was not a force for good. It was not positively, you know, at large scale contributing to better health. It was not solving chronic health issues. Although the answers are within the fitness industry and there were trainers and coaches in the industry that were doing a good job at large, at scale, it wasn't doing that. And so we said, let's start a media company so we could start to shift that. So we could inform the consumer to know where to go and where not to go. Well, phase two of that was to do it from the inside. Phase two of that was who has the most influence over what people do, or at least has the most impact on people who are working out? Trainers, trainers and coaches. This is phase two of the plan. Phase two of the plan now is, now we're going to talk to the soldiers. We're going to talk to people on the battlefield who are working with people. We're going to teach them how to be truly effective. And so this is about making career trainers successful and making their clients successful. I'm going to start with this before we get into the program. Just kind of outline the overall philosophy about what we're going to teach. But here's what you'll learn in this. You are going to learn how to make your clients successful, and you are going to learn how to build a successful business, whether you work in a big box, small box, private studio, online, or going to people's houses. We're going to cover all that. But let me talk a little bit about the philosophy behind what we're doing. And these are what we call the personal trainer commandments, or the philosophy behind being a good coach or trainer, or the Tao, right? The Tao of training. And I'm going to go over these quickly. And I'm not going to explain them too much, but because they speak for themselves. But there's five of them. The first one is, I am responsible for my clients' successes and failures. The second one, I will never make false promises. The third one, I will prioritize my clients' health above aesthetics. Number four, I will always meet my clients where they are. And number five, I will always aim for sustainability over speed with my clients' progress. All of these, if you do them right, and because we did this, we understand this, you do these right, it will make you successful in every single aspect of being a trainer or a coach. All right, let's start with the different arenas that trainers work in, right? There's the big box, there's the private studio, there's online, and there's at home. Each one of those has their advantages and disadvantages and poses kind of different challenges. Let's start with the big box, because I think if we were to look at all the trainers and coaches that exist that are actually training, you know, relatively significant amount of people, probably a majority are in big boxes, right? Because that's where you're going to get most members. Yeah. Big box gyms, advantages, they're busy.
Yeah.
There's lots of people in there. There's people on the workout floor. It's great. You're going to get a lot of opportunities to learn and grow and hone your skills. We think, there's always exceptions, but for most people who plan on training and coaching people for a career, this, you got to experience this, because there's no place you're going to get, there's nowhere, no arena in fitness where you're going to have this many opportunities, where you're going to meet this wide range of people, and you're going to build as much experience in a short period of time. Like, when you work, some of the gyms I worked in, and we were talking 35,000-40,000 square foot clubs, Silicon Valley, busy, thousands of workouts a day. Like, I met so many people, and I trained and worked with and witnessed so many workouts and worked with so many trainers, that in a year at a big box gym, I gained the experience of, 5 or 6 years in a private studio or more, right? Just the sheer volume and number. It's like working in a super high, busy restaurant and then going to a slow restaurant where you barely, when you work in a big, busy restaurant, you learn a lot in a very short period of time. Then you go to the quiet, slow ones, and it's like a piece of cake. You work in a big box gym, you're going to learn a lot, and you're going to learn really fast. So that's one of the big advantages.
It's like an incubator for systems. Yeah. Like you said, getting all the reps in and problem solving a lot and realizing how to get, the timing, how to get the re-signs, and just like continual practice of communicating the value of personal training to so many people. And literally there's leads. You're not going to find better leads anywhere else. They're all right there. It's literally amounting to your motivation and your hustle as to how far you can go with it.
The reason why that's so important, what you both are bringing up, is because most trainers don't look at it like that. When you are first getting the job, you just get your first cert, or you just came out of college, and you're thinking, okay, where am I going to work?
Yeah.
The big thing that you look for is what's my shift or schedule going to be, and how much am I going to get paid?
That's right.
Maybe if I have
per hour.
Yeah, per hour. What are my benefits? Things like that. And what I think you guys are trying to communicate, and what we always try to communicate around this topic, is that the real value, notice that no one said anything about the dollar amount or 401k or benefits. Yes, those are all things that happen in that situation, but it's not the main reason why the big box gym is so valuable. The main reason why is the sheer volume, the amount of reps that you're going to get, the general population that you're serving and dealing with. Like, it is the best microcosm of what you are going to be doing for the rest of your life if you're going to be a coach and trainer, and it gives you the best amount of practical good practice, and then you can take those things and then go on from there. It also gives you an opportunity. Most of these big box gyms, if you love the company, like many of us did, right? I guarantee you said I bled purple at one point,
yeah.
Right? I was in love with 24 Hour Fitness in my early years before the company sold and changed a lot. I was definitely somebody who, if you asked me at 23, my goal was to be a president for that company. And so there is, in big box gyms, you also have that opportunity to work up the ladder.
Totally.
If you like that, and scale up. But at the bare minimum, the thing that you should be looking at if you're considering a place like that is what you're going to get practice wise. Like, that just, if this trainer gets to practice on 10 people in a day, and the average small box or private trainer maybe gets one or two, that's a huge difference when you start to add that up over months and potentially years.
Look, you want to learn how to hit a baseball, you want to practice swinging a lot. You're going to get that in a big box. In other arenas, you're not going to get that. I did, what you said, Adam, I started as a trainer, became a fitness manager, then became a weekend sales manager, then became an assistant manager, then eventually became a general manager. So I was all over the place, and I got to learn and experience so much that when I left and went off on my own and owned my own wellness studio, like, I learned a lot. Big boxes also have lots of systems that are already in place. You don't have to figure out how to create any system. They got everything there for you. All you got to do is go in and train people and learn. And you also get to work with lots of trainers. Big boxes typically have anywhere between 8 to 30 trainers, and some of them experienced, so you can learn from all of them. The other arena, another arena, is a private studio. Now, I, you know, had the opportunity to do both, right? I worked in a big box. I managed big box and grand opened big box gyms. The last big box gym that I grand opened was here in San Jose. Was it Club 497, I think, was the number of it. And I learned a lot doing that. And then I went and I opened my own private studio. Now, here's the value of private studios. Service. You can take everything to a whole nother level of service. People expect to pay more in a private studio. Trainers tend to charge more in private studios. It's more quiet. There's more connection, personal attention. Typically, private studios allow you to run your own programs and run your own whatever. So you're not working for someone. You're typically like a contractor, or you rent space is typically how it works. So you can run your own business within kind of loose parameters. But what I learned in a private studio was the high-end client and how to get real deep. Like, how do I really get deep with their nutrition and coaching? And these people are going to work with me for a very, very long time. They expect high service. Typically, these were clients who were very educated, high level, who understood a lot of things. Like, at one point, I trained people in the medical profession, so they know anatomy. They know, like, basics of things that even trainers didn't understand. So I had to really up my game. The other value of private studios was I worked with other really good trainers.
Yep.
The quality of trainers that I worked with in private studios, like big box gyms, there are great trainers in there. But generally speaking, private studios are going to have some of the best, most experienced trainers. And these are people who've been doing it for years and years and years. And I learned more from the people I worked around with than I ever learned from any course. That's just a fact. I learned from the other trainers way more just by watching.
Yeah, like you said earlier, like a mentorship. And I was literally doing that just by observing all of these trainers. And I had the same experience when I moved into a private gym, where just the overall quality of all of the trainers in there and their dedication. And you could see just every time, like, they would meet with somebody, had the professionalism. And two, like, they all had different specialties, which was also another highlight for me, because you get a lot of general population in the bigger box gyms.
Good
but,
point. Yeah.
You know, in some of these private gyms, like, you'll find people that have actually specialized in certain directions, which then occasionally you'll come across somebody that needs very specific help. And it's nice to have somebody else to riff with and be able to solve these problems.
Totally.
I think the important part about this is, I mean, we're talking first about the big box, and we have your private studios, which both you guys have a lot of experience around the private studio market. Then we have online, and then you have at home, which we all have experience in both those arenas. Is really that in this course that what we did, because we have experiences, is that we address each one of those things. The idea was that
how do you grow in each one?
Right,
what are the challenges, what you get out of them.
Yeah, we may have our opinions on, oh, this is the best place to start, and then maybe go here. It doesn't mean that you can't be at one of these sectors right now. And the idea was that, can we help these coaches and trainers that are in all these different arenas, and make their, and help them scale their business and be a better coach and be a better trainer. And we took the time to make sure that we spoke to each individual at what place they could potentially be at in their career.
Yeah. We also talked about general client demographics. Now, at the end of the day, we'll always make this point. Everybody's an individual. Okay. So whether they're older, younger, athlete, slow metabolism, fast metabolism, build muscle, lose fat, correctional exercise, whatever. An individual is always an individual, and you're always going to have to focus on the fact that what you don't want to do is put someone in a category and stay rigid in that category because of what you learned. However, what you can generally learn about a demographic oftentimes applies and will get things out of the way. And we talk a lot about that in this course. Like, there are things to consider when you work with an athlete. I'll give you an example. Okay, when you're working with an athlete, you know, you have a gas and brakes. Okay, the gas, push the client, brakes, pull them back. when you're working with an athlete, you're almost always using the brakes. You almost never have to push the gas. Now, when you're working with the average person, often who has an exercise, it's a lot of gas. It's like, all right, we got to get you to work out. We got to get you to figure this out. When you're training athletes, I mean, have you guys ever worked with an athlete who didn't come see you and you looked at what they were doing? You're like, you're doing too much. You're overtraining. Yeah. It was almost always like that, right? Older population. This demographic right here was shocking to me in the sense that trainers often never think about this as an important demographic. Like almost never do trainers, very rarely do trainers become trainers and think, I'm going to work with people in advanced age. I'm going to tell you right now, this will be the most stable, best demographic if you want to build a successful long-term business, generally speaking, because the older demographic typically has, first off, they have a greater need for strength training, a greater need for correctional exercise, a greater understanding and appreciation of instruction. They have better, they have their finances typically work better. And here is the other part nobody thinks about, their schedule. When you train clients, you have to contend with people's work schedules, which is typically 9 to 5. When you're working with people who are retired, my schedule, when I was starting to work with older clients, I was training people. I could train people at 1 in the afternoon, at noon, at 11 a.m. When you're working with the general pop who works, it's like you either train people hella early or after work, and you have this huge break in the middle. So there's a little bit of value there. We also talk about people with a slow metabolism, people with a faster metabolism, how to work with these people. These are all things that we cover in this course.
My favorite part of this module, though, was, and it reminds me of what would happen to me when I'd acquire a new trainer, is I think almost every trainer starts a career, this career off thinking that they're going to train a specific demographic, and it never ends
up
that
way.
Yeah,
that's
funny, right? Yep.
And so my favorite part of creating this module was equipping you with the tools to attack all of these different clientele. So you may have thought when you were going through college or getting your cert, I can't wait to train athletes all day. And then you find out, I haven't trained a single athlete. All I have is advanced age or rehab or whatever.
And I only get them for 3 months and then they leave.
Yeah. So the best part, in my opinion, about this module was equipping the coach and trainer on the skills that are present or that are necessary for each of these different demographics, and how do you communicate differently with each of them, and so you can hone in on those skills. And even if you aspire one day to be the trainer for the 49ers or whatever it may be, what your current position is presenting you is this type of demographic, and how do you go about that?
Now, I want to make a special note and talk about something we spent a decent amount of time in this program talking about, which one of the biggest, I don't know, I guess you could loosely say psychological or behavioral or mental issues that trainers tackle with that really negatively impacts their ability to be successful in the entire fitness arena is imposter syndrome. This is so common in personal trainers that if you haven't felt it, then you're probably you're an outlier. Now, how does it surface, right? How does it manifest? Here's what imposter syndrome, and by the way, imposter syndrome literally means you don't feel worthy of what you're doing. You feel like an imposter. It's like that bad dream where you wake up and, oh my God, I have a test today, but I haven't studied. Like oh my God, I'm a trainer. Am I good enough? Like, what do I do? Here's how it manifests. It's two extremes. It either manifests like this, where it's like, I can't ask for money. I can't tell this person to pay me $80 an hour, $100 an hour. I'm not worth that much. What am I going to do? I don't know enough. Or it's, I'm going to talk in a way that's so complicated and above this person's head because I need to consistently prove to them how smart I am. My ego needs to let them know, like, I know what I'm talking about. So instead of telling you to lift your arm, I'm going to use words like, you know, abductor humerus. And, you know, the lower part of your scapula attaches that. And you're going to talk in ways where the average client's going to be like, huh? Ineffective. But the reason why you're talking like that is because deep down inside, you have this imposter syndrome. If you don't tackle this properly and appropriately, you will not succeed 100%. You have to realize your value, realize what you can present to the client. But above all, this is the big one, realize that you'll never have all the answers, but you will be the one to find the answers. This is actually the answer to imposter syndrome. The answer is this. And when I figured this out pretty early on, thankfully, where a client would ask me a question, I'd say, you know what? I don't know. I'll find out. By the next time we work out, I'll find out. And then I remember doing this where someone says, hey, you know, this hurts on my back. And I'd say, you know, there's a trainer that works here that's really good with back work. And I'd show them the other trainer. And I'm like, oh, crap, I hope they don't fire me and hire that trainer. Instead, they wanted to work with me even more because I was able to, you know, I had that confidence to be able to point them other directions. That's actually the answer to it. But we really get deep in this module about this because it's a big problem.
Maybe one of the most important modules, because I think this is
so common.
It's so common, and it cripples so many coaches, trainers. And to your point, it can manifest in different ways. It's not always I was definitely the kid who I went from one summer milking cows for $7 an hour to the next summer asking for $80 an hour for personal training. I mean, talk about a huge transition in my life. You know, 20 something, I'm 20 years old, milking cows one summer, next summer I'm all of a sudden doing this. That was a major leap for me to wrap my brain around. All of a sudden, I'm this person who should be asking that of people. That was wild and that was difficult. But then there is the other extreme, which is the point you made, which is the ones that have poured so much into their education and they're a lot of times driven through insecurities, whether someone called them dumb when they were young and so they were out to prove their parents or somebody else wrong. And they got all the accolades, they got all the acronyms behind their name, and then they talk to their clients that way. And they have no idea that imposter syndrome is crippling them in just a different way. And so I think this is by far one of the most important modules, by far one of the things that I remember speaking to and helping coaches and trainers out with more than almost anything else.
Yeah, 100%. And you mentioned education. We also talk about the best ways to educate yourself as a trainer or coach. You are not going to get everything out of this course. What you are going to get out of this course is really how to build a business and how to be more successful with your clients. But we know that you'll need more than this. And so in this course, we also talk about how to get educated. What are the best ways to learn that information that actually applies, that you can apply? Where are the places that we, you know, what's wonderful about this podcast is, you know, I mean, one of my favorite things is we get to meet really smart people and we get to get our minds blown all the time. And over the last 9 years, we've learned a lot of these courses, a lot of these methods that we see and we go, oh my God, like, I wish I knew that, or this is so incredible. So we talk about that because the space is a bit cloudy. I mean, you have, you know, especially if you work for a big box, you're like, go get nationally certified. And so you're like, okay, I'll just pick one of the national certs. But then what? Yeah. Where do I learn? I have YouTube, I have podcasts, there's books, there's other certification courses. Some are recognized, some aren't recognized. Like, which ones should I spend the money on? Which ones should I pursue? Which ones are going to make a big difference? We talk about that.
Yeah, and a lot of times this points back to where basically where your focus is based on what kind of clientele you're attracting. And you know, earlier we talked about, like, originally I wanted to start out as an athletic-based trainer. I want to train athletes, or I want – and maybe now, like, all my clients are coming to me to solve their issues with pain. And so now I'm even more led to drive my education in that direction because it's going to benefit my business and I'm going to attract more clients that are already asking for my service.
Yes. Now let's get to some, I want to start giving people things to take away with this episode. So let's talk about, this is a very important aspect of building your business, and that is how to get leads as a trainer, how to get people in front of you so you can actually present value to them. So I'm going to talk about one that I'm always surprised when I bring this one up. It's so crazy to me that when I bring this one up today, that trainers and coaches are like, oh my God, I never heard of that before. Because back in the day when I was managing gyms, this was like a staple. This was like, this is how we got leads in the gym. And then when I owned my own studio and trainers would come in and pay me a fee to train their clients, this is also what I had them do. And that is a body fat testing booth. So what I want to do is I want to talk a little bit about how to make a body fat testing booth, how to create one, and how to make it so that it creates leads for you. So let's start with the way that you test body fat, okay? Because there's a lot of different ways you can test body fat. A lot of trainers and coaches who do this, in my opinion, choose the worst way, which is electronic impedance. And I understand why they do this, because it's easy. You can buy a little machine, you can get them on Amazon for $50, put your hands on the handles, tells you your body fat, boom, it's done. I don't like that, not because it's inaccurate, although it is one of the least accurate body fat tests, but because it's so fast, it gives me no opportunity to talk to the person. It
doesn't show your value at all.
And it doesn't show my value. Here's a machine, put your hands on it, and then you're done. I always use calipers. Here's why I like calipers. I get to touch the person. That's an important part of communication, okay? That actually breaks walls down. Number two, when I'm testing skin fold, subscapula, tricep, bicep, superiliac crest, that's right above the hip, right? It's going to take me, I don't know, 30 seconds to a minute, and I get to talk to the person while I'm doing this. Do you have any idea where your body fat percentage is? Do you know what they mean? You know, here's why I'm testing this. This is why body fat is percentage is important versus body weight. Did you know that you could lose weight and get fatter? A lot of people are blown away by that. And they're like, what do you mean? Well, if you lost 10 pounds of muscle, but you kept the same amount of body fat on your body, your body fat percentage actually goes up. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, you could gain weight and get leaner. What do you mean? Well, if you gain 10 pounds of muscle and gain no pounds of body fat, your body fat now is a lower body fat percentage. Now, what I would also do with these booths, and you could do this in a big box gym, or you could do this outside of businesses. So when I had my wellness studio, I had these big placards that I had created that I would let trainers use. And I'd let them park these body fat testing booths outside of local businesses. And what it was a big sign that said, find out your body fat percentage in 60 seconds or less. And I would have a big chart next to it that showed men, women, you know, unhealthy, average, athletic, lean, and then too lean or something like that, right? And so you'd have all these different categories. So it'd be like, you know, 0 to 4% or whatever. And you'd see these charts. So people could see the numbers and they'd wonder like, huh, I wonder where I'm at, where my body fat percentage is at if, you know, I'm a man versus a woman. And then people would come up to me. We'd test their body fat. I'd talk to them about the value of body fat percentage. Oh, here's your number. You're at 15%, you know, Mr. Johnson. That's actually a good body fat percentage to be at. Or, okay, you're over 20%. That's actually when the body fat percentage gets a little too high. We start to see negative effects. Very easy lead-in to, you know, I'm a trainer right down the street here. Or, you know, I'm a trainer and I'm doing free workouts. I'm scheduling free workouts. I could actually take you through an assessment and show you a very basic but effective workout for your body that's going to help you get leaner, and I have some space available this next coming week. What does your schedule look like? And then you book leads. Body fat testing booth, one of the easiest ways to book leads and to get those leads to come in and show up.
I want to add to the conversation, and I agree that doing calipers is a better approach for sure when doing body fat tests. But you also have the opportunity while you're doing this too, and this comes with more experience when you've been training enough people. You start to see that even though everyone's an individual and they each have their own challenges nutritionally and exercise and psychologically and everything like that, there tends to be common fallacies or common things that people do wrong when approaching their health and fitness goal. And a lot of times I can start to piece that together within the first few minutes or even, 10 minutes of talking with somebody by asking them a lot of questions around what have they done in the past and how do they like to train. Yeah. And when you're gathering that information, it gives you this opportunity to create value in yourself and without also offending them right away because you just met them and telling them what they're doing is necessarily wrong. So when I'm asking a lot of these questions and I'm starting to realize, oh, this is the classic cardio to lose weight person and they're afraid to big bulky muscle. And I'm like gathering this information and then I'm going to be telling them when I'm doing body fat tests, why so many people struggle with losing body fat and why they might lose muscle, like Sal was saying, or why they might, go down in body fat percentage by gaining weight. And I'm going to explain what most people do wrong. But when I'm saying the words most people, I'm speaking to them.
Yeah.
And that's a very powerful way to create value in yourself, your knowledge around what you're talking about. And that makes it good for a good transition over to the free appointment that you were talking about that you would lead them to.
Totally. A question that I would say, which back in the day, still, this would still be controversial for the average person, but back in the day when I would say it, people would be like, what? Is while I'm testing their body fat, I'd say, did you know the worst way to work out to get lean is cardio? And then I just keep testing body fat. What? What are you talking about? As well, actually. And then I would go into my discussion about it and they'd be like, well, what's the best way? Well, strength training. I didn't have studies back then to back me up. Today you have amazing studies. So one thing I would add, if I were doing a body fat testing booth today, is I would have the study printed out and I'd show them, check this out. This is a new study that just came out. By the way, I've experienced this training clients, but cardio actually makes people pair muscle down, which can make people's body fat percentage go up, slows your metabolism down, which is kind of crazy. That's why I primarily focus on strength training with my fat loss clients. And then people are like, what?
Yeah.
I want to learn about this. And then, hey, let me show you some exercises do you have any time next Friday?
When you get booked that appointment, when you set that hook in, when that person is now you see them perk up, or you said something that like they're curious about, that's the perfect transition right there, right? Mm-hmm. That's the like, you know what? Don't worry, you and I will get totally into that. If you get some time on Tuesday, you know I've got a free hour.
I'm going to teach you three exercises.
Yeah, we'll get into the best exercises to do and why cardio is that. I got some more time, but I have some more people that I want to make sure I help them out with their body. And like, yeah, boom, there's your appointment right there, and you move on to the next.
100%. All right, which leads us perfectly to the next module, which is my favorite module, which was sales, closing, and retention. Now, why is sales my favorite? Is it because I like to sell things? Kinda, but that's not really the whole reason why. Here's why. I love telling trainers this because it always blows their minds. But the best trainers and the best coaches in the world, as defined by clients that get the best results. Forget about the money. I'm not talking about the money yet. Okay, I'm talking about clients that get the best results. The best trainers in the world, period, end of story, are the best salespeople. Why? Because what your job really is as a personal trainer or a coach is constantly selling people on why they need to change behaviors. That's what you're doing. Think about it right now. If you're a trainer or a coach and you're watching this and you've been a trainer and a coach for longer than 2 months, and I asked you, hey, you know, what are the conversations like? You know, what's it like being a trainer? Here's the two things you'll hear. Oh, I feel like a psychologist half the time, which is actually part of what I'm saying. And the other one is like, well, I'm constantly talking about how they need to change their eating habits, why they need to get better sleep, the things they need to add, better forms of exercise, why overtraining is bad. You are constantly, constantly selling your client on making behavior changes the entire time. I don't care how many years you're with somebody, the entire time you're with someone. So sales skills, communication skills, this right here, if you master this, you will be more successful than if you mastered, you got a PhD in exercise science. I will put money on that all day long.
Yeah, it's interesting because you have some real challenges in front of you. You're selling an invisible product, which is the hope and the dream and the vision of where they're going to get. And also, you don't have religion on your side, right? Like anybody else is trying to pitch, like you got to change your lifestyle, you got to change your behaviors, you got to change this. Like they have some kind of ultimate, you know, spiritual guidance in their back corner, in their back pocket. You just have your experience and you have, you know, the way that you're able to relate and to be able to really communicate that at a good level where they're going to buy into what you're portraying for them.
I mean, I really think that this part, this module in here is something that is valuable for people that aren't even coaches and trainers. The skills that we teach in this apply across the board to anything you do. Oh, in fact, most anybody I know that's been very successful in life, if they've been asked, what's the single skill that you would teach someone if you needed them to make a lot of money or be successful, what are they doing? And it's sales, effective communication.
100%.
And so it doesn't even matter. You could be in a corporate setting where there's no sales whatsoever. The tools, the tactics, the skills that you learn from this module will apply to the way you communicate with your peers at your day-to-day job, the way you talk to your boss. So those skills, those things translate across all forms of work.
I'm going to reword this, okay? People think of scales, they think of talking. And when I say communication, people think of words coming out of your mouth. The truth is effective communication skills or sales is listening skills. It's listening skills, which takes us to the next module, which is how to do assessments. Because assessments, okay, now I'm not talking about the assessments you do every time you train someone. So an assessment can be as basic as I'm watching my client work out. I'm assessing their technique and form. I see something going on here. We're going to do this exercise instead of this other one that we planned, or we're going to move over to this mobility exercise, or let's change the weight or whatever. Or they can be as complex as I'm a correctional exercise specialist and I have to identify why your shoulder hurts when you lift it above your head. Is it your humerus? Is it your rotator cuff? Is it your scapula? Whatever, right? The assessment. So assessments is all about how to ask the right questions so that you can communicate effectively. Now, the assessment that we focus on in this course is the assessment you get when you meet with a potential client, that first appointment that they didn't pay for. So they did a body fat test with you, or maybe their friend referred them. They're here to meet with you. You're going to give them a free workout and an assessment. Your job with this assessment is, how do I build enough value in this 30 to 60 minute period to where the client realizes that they're, for every dollar they spend on me, they're going to get $100 in return. And that's a real ratio, by the way. I dare anybody to find something that will improve your life as much as improving your health, right? So if they actually hire someone who's good, you do a good job and you mesh well, like the, you know, $100 an hour that they pay you, it's worth $1,000 an hour or more in terms of the return. So the real assessment in this particular context is building value. And let me tell you something. When somebody makes a decision to hire you, it's based on value versus price. That's it. End of story. I used to love this, doing this with trainers that I worked with. So I would get trainers, new ones, and they would always have the same problem. You know, I don't know how to sell these big packages of training, right? 30 sessions, you know, that's $3,000, let's say. Like, I'm asking someone for $3,000. Like, that's a lot of money or whatever. And I'd sit down. I used to always, this was my favorite thing to do. When I, we're, you know, my studio was here in the Bay Area, up in Los Gatos, which is a very kind of wealthy part of Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley in general is super expensive. So I would say to this, and I'd say, if I picked a house here, a small house, 3-bedroom house here in Los Gatos, and I told you you could sell it for $3,000, how quickly do you think you could sell it if I just sent you out into the streets? They'd be like, oh, I'd sell it in 2 seconds. Why? Because, you know, at that time, the average house in Los Gatos was still millions of dollars. So I said, the problem isn't that you're asking for $3,000. The problem is that you haven't figured out how to build enough value so that $3,000 seems like totally worth it.
Yeah, no brainer.
That's it. And the problem, this is part of imposter syndrome. The trainer doesn't feel like they're worth $3,000. Almost embarrassed to ask for it. Now, once you get good and you see what you can do, I would ask for $3,000 like I would ask for $3. I knew, like, this. I know what you're going to get out of this if you follow this. And so the assessment that we cover in this module, in this course, is about how to build that value, how to ask the right questions, and why we ask the questions that we tell you to ask.
Well, this portion is the part where I learned how to sell big packages. Because step one is what you said. You have to overcome imposter syndrome. You have to believe in yourself first. You have to believe that you can create that kind of value in somebody's life. That's first step. Once you can do that, then how do you communicate that? And when in this assessment portion, like, that's when you have that ability to build rapport, to really dive deep into what is it that makes this person tick? What is it that what they're really here for? How can you really change their life? And then how do you use that assessment to present this package of training that's a year long or 2 years long? And most trainers don't know how to do that. Most trainers have been taught to, these are the prices that the gym offer, or this is what I've decided that my prices are. And they do an assessment and they go, here's how much it costs to train with me. And they don't prescribe the same way like a doctor would. A doctor would never go like, here's all your options of medications. What would you like to take? No, what they do is they do an assessment with you. They just diagnose you with what's going on. And then they say, here, Sal, take this three times a week for the next 6 weeks. And then I'm going to transition to this. It's like, that's the same thing that goes with personal training. And that part of training is just missed. Like, nobody teaches that in any certifications on your job is to assess these clients, diagnose, and then prescribe to them what they need based off of what they've told you.
You know, I proved a point once over this exact conversation. So at the time, the largest package of training that we offered was 30 sessions. And this is not my private studio, so I work for the big gyms. So the way it worked was you had a single session rate, then you had so it was 0 to 9 session and was considered the single session rate. Then it was 10 to 19 sessions. And so he got a little bit of a discount. Then it was like 20 to 29. And then you got a little bit of a discount per session. Then it was, you know, 30, and then it was 30 or more. Okay. And the conversation I had at the time with my district manager was, you'll notice the biggest package we sell of training is 30 sessions. Like, the trainers see it's 30 sessions or more. Nobody's selling the or more. They're selling the 30 session package. That's the biggest package. I said, I bet you, if we make a 40, 50, 60, 70 session package, you'll start seeing trainers sell those packages. They're like, well, we don't want to drop prices. I said, then make the single session rate more expensive. I actually had a bet and I said, watch this. And I created 60, 70, 80 session packages. Sure enough, my top trainers, because it was on the paper, started selling 70 and 80 session packages. It's all in your head. Mm-hmm. It's all in your head. I used to sell training by the year, by the 2 years, if I wanted to. In fact, the reason why I didn't do it sometimes is I didn't know if I want to be tied that long to, you know, a commitment. But you could definitely do it, and we'll teach you how to do that in this course. We also, of course, cover workout programming. Of course. Yeah. We talk about how to program properly, workouts and exercises, and how to write the best workouts, how to modify the best workouts, how to know when to switch from one exercise to another, etc. We talk about diet. Now, what we don't do with diet is tell you, here's a specific diet that works the best according to the data, but it doesn't work that way when you're working with individuals. Instead, we talk about how to make small changes that people that understand easily. So you're working with the average person. How do I communicate things that people will do that make the biggest impact, right? Here's an example. If you've listened to the podcast for more than three episodes, you've heard us say this before. Here's a simple example. If all I tell somebody to do is hit their body weight, their target body weight in grams of protein, that's all I tell them to do. By the way, that's not a takeaway. That's a eat this. I'm not telling people not to eat anything. I'm saying, I want you to eat this. So you might have to eat more. Hit your body weight, your target body weight in grams of protein. Just do that. Here's what that accomplishes when people do that. They hit their protein targets or they get close, which means they build more muscle. They eat less calories because the data is very clear on this. When you eat that much protein, your appetite goes down and you're going to eat less calories. So you actually get leaner without even realizing it. It also controls blood sugar better. So mm-hmm. What do people notice? Better mood, less cravings. They feel stronger. Oh my God, everything's going great. Balances out hormones better. That one step right there makes a bigger impact than if I gave someone a meal plan or macros or whatever. That's just one simple example of things that we like to do. Another one is this. This was another one that I would do for people who were very sensitive to counting or tracking. Some people it just triggers them, right? It's just an issue. Is I would say this, don't change your diet. I don't want you to change your diet at all. Here's what I want you to do. Every time you eat, don't be on your phone. Don't be on your computer. Don't watch TV. Just sit quietly and eat by yourself. And the people would say, why? And I'd say, well, and I'd make something up. I would say, well, it's better for digestion and awareness and it helps people with their, but I say, let's just try it. Don't change your diet. Just try it for the next 60 days and then let's see what happens. And sure enough, they'd all lose weight. Why? People eat 10 to 15% less calories when they're not distracted. Now I could tell people cut your calories by 10 to 15%, but that doesn't work. Instead, don't change your diet. Just don't be distracted. Boom. They would end up getting leaner because they'd cut their calories by 200-400 calories without even realizing. One of my favorite things. Right. We also have more trainer hacks in terms of training, getting your clients to show up on time, getting your clients to want to work out, enjoy what they do, things that you might have heard us communicate on the show differently, except this time we're talking to trainers and coaches. And then at the very end, we talk about agreements and paperwork and kind of the business boring stuff that
legal stuff.
Legal stuff. You know what? When I first went off, had my own studio, I remember suddenly being like, what do I do? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. What agreements do I use and where do I go?
License, it's insurance, for sure. All that stuff.
Yeah. So here's what we got in this course for trainers. All those things we talked about, there's over, how many hours? Is it 40 hours?
40 hours.
There's 40 hours of instruction, all based on some of the stuff that I talked about or that we talked about and more. What's also included in this is MAPS Prime, MAPS Prime Pro. The reason why we included those
is... You don't have to yell at trainers anymore.
Yeah, that's what, Adam gets mad.
You avoid Adam's wrath.
And this is only for the launch, by the way.
Yeah. Okay, so this is only for the launch period. The reason why is because every trainer will benefit. I don't care how you train people, powerlifting, bodybuilding.
Every trainer should have that.
Yes.
It's correctional exercise programs. I wish I had this. The stuff that's in this took me years of certification.
It's the essential tools.
It's essential. It'll teach you how to identify pain problems, how to make people move better, which, by the way, you want to build value immediately. Mm-hmm. And this is the only way to do it with one session. You can't make people lose weight. You can't make people build muscle in a session. But oftentimes you could reduce pain enough to where people can feel it through correctional exercise. If you do that, your odds of them hiring you skyrocket. Prime and Prime Pro will teach you all that, and it works on the entire body. What's also included in the launch is the live virtual lead generating masterclass. You also get all of our mods. So MAPS programs have mods. A lot of people don't know this. Leg workout mods, shoulder workout mods,
butt
core,
mods.
Butt, you know, every body part. You also get every guide that we've written for MAPS. So guides like reverse dieting guide and fasting guide and stuff like that. That's all in there. You're also going to get access for free to our private Facebook group for trainers and coaches.
Only.
So we're going to create a new group that's mm-hmm. only trainers and coaches so people can...
It's a built-in network for you.
Yes, and we're going to be in there. And we're going to be in there helping people, answering questions. We'll have good top trainers in there who will be leading things. You're also going to get access this is for the first 100 people who end up getting this course. You are going to get access to a live training here at Mind Pump headquarters. So here at the studio, we have a big gym here.
We have limited space. That's why there's only 100.
Limited space. Hopefully there's still some available by the time you listen to this. By the way, all of this, if you were to buy it all, would be like over $4,000. Okay. You're also going to get $200 off because of the launch. Okay. So this launch ends January 31st. What's the total price, Doug, with the discount?
Yeah, so the total price is $997.
So $997 gives you everything. Or there's payment plans, right? You can also just pay monthly.
Yeah, there's some payment plans available.
I want to point out something else that's going to be unique about this than anything else. One, the vision for this is it will never go down in price. The goal is every 6 months to a year, it'll increase in price as we build more value into it. But if you're somebody who's purchased, that's your grandfathered in.
Forever.
So you have access to it. And so as we continue to build it out and add more value, because one of the things that we for sure recognize and understand is that as much as we've spent the last year and a half building this thing out, there's going to be things that coaches and trainers say, oh man, I wish you would have talked about this, or I wish you would give more of this. And our goal is to go back and bolster this thing and keep building this thing out. And as we continue to pour more into this, the price will go up for people that don't own it yet. But if you buy it right now at that price, you're grandfathered in all the things that we add to it in the future. You've got it.
And some ideas around that are things like, you know, when we meet other top coaches and trainers and gym owners and managers and people that we interview, like having them include content for us for this particular program that will be in there exclusive. And again, you're grandfathered in. So you get $200 off. That makes the total price $997, or you could pay monthly and get the program as well. And I think it's a 12-month payment plan.
I think there's up to a 12-month plan. So there's variations on that.
Variations of it. So if you're interested and you want to do this and you want to become part of the Mind Pump Trainer community, you go to mindpumptrainer.com. The discount code you got to use for all that stuff and the discount is 200, so 200 off. 200 off gives you the discount, all the free stuff, everything that we're talking about, and we hope to see you there. It's very exciting stuff. Look, if you like the show, if you like Mind Pump, you got to check out our free guides. Go to mindpumpfree.com. You can also find us on Instagram. Justin is at Mind Pump Justin. I'm at Mind Pump DeStefano. And Adam is at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now, plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.